Thanks for being here this morning. It's early, so hopefully we can keep this moving and keep you engaged. I'm very excited to be talking about our project, Health Screenings in the City of Cleveland under the REACH initiative. And I'd like to recognize some of my colleagues that are here with us today, Dr. Diane Kerr from Kent State University, Emily Goliath, who's actually a student at University of Toledo, Alan Armstrong, who is actually one of the staff members at the Cleveland Y. We also have Tara Taylor with us, who is also with Cleveland Y. And this has certainly been a very interdisciplinary project, and something I think that we can say we really have made a difference in the city of Cleveland. This is a community that certainly has significant health disparities. If you look at the demographics and some of the challenges that they're facing, you can see that certainly this is a very diverse population, with about 50% of the population being black, 10% Hispanic, and you can see the other data that's listed there as well. Poverty in particular is a problem in the city of Cleveland, and we know obviously that there's a direct relationship with poverty and socioeconomic status and health disparities. Nearly a third or 31% of Cleveland's households live below the federal poverty level, and of course having low household medium incomes. The BRFSS data that is presented in the next few slides has been collected as part of the REACH initiative through NORAC. And some of the data that's been found that might be of interest to kind of set the stage for our initiative is the fact that 46% of African Americans in the city of Cleveland have incomes below $15,000. That's significant. That's basically almost half of that population. And in the same survey, one in three reported the highest level of education is a high school diploma. And again, we often see a relationship between educational status and health outcomes as well. This is considered to be a medically underserved population. Because of so many unequal social conditions in the city of Cleveland, we also see that life expectancy has been affected in that population. According to the BRFS data that we have, you can also see that there's lifestyle factors of concern that fall within our REACH initiative. Only about 27% of African Americans report consuming 5 or more fruits and vegetables a day. And about a third meet the daily recommendations for physical activity. Also in the BRFSS survey, we find that 11% of African Americans report having cardiovascular disease, 14% report having diabetes, and this is actually higher than the statewide estimates of 10%. So again, we're seeing those elevations within that community. In specific, looking at the higher rates of hypertension, cardiovascular disease, we also see that there's a lower level of education around those diseases. For example, there was questions on BRFSS that asked them about recognition of the signs of a heart attack, the signs of a stroke, and as you can see listed by this data, there are very few people that were surveyed that could correctly identify those. So that becomes a real concern. You have this group that has higher risk factors. They also are not clear in terms of, you know, if they were having a heart attack, would you know it? What are the signs and symptoms in terms of getting them medical attention quickly? Also, looking at the fact of obesity, which we know is a risk factor for diabetes, hypertension, cardiovascular disease, and cancer, the alarming point here is that 77% of the African-American Clevelanders that filled out our survey were either overweight or obese. I want you to think about that for a minute. 77% of that population being considered overweight or obese. And this basically translates into the fact that only one in four of that population would be considered a normal weight. So it's almost without, you know, talking about social norms, it's really not a social norm to weigh a normal weight in that population. So with all this data that I've just kind of thrown at you, I hope I've made the case of why we need to do something about it. And Clevelanders in Motion is comprised of a coalition of numerous agencies and groups like Cleveland State, hospitals, urban planners, coming together, pediatricians saying we need to do something about this. And it's one of the major initiatives that has been funded within the city of Cleveland to focus specifically on minorities around the areas of cardiovascular disease and diabetes. So we're very thankful for the funding from Centers for Disease Control and Prevention for the REACH grant that allowed us to do our work. So again, I just want to, for those of you that are not aware of a REACH program, this is something that's been funded for a number of years from CDC, specifically targeting racial and ethnic groups throughout the United States. They have different priority areas. Ours just tend to be for this initiative around the areas of cardiovascular disease and hypertension. So the purpose of the REACH program that we worked on was specific to cardiovascular disease, diabetes within the city of Cleveland, Ohio. Specifically, the portion that I'm going to be talking about today is the screenings that we did in our community. Cleveland has some wonderful assets in that they have rec centers throughout their community that are tax funder based, that are completely free. So throughout various zip codes in the city, Clevelanders can actually go there, work out, and have access to physical activity facilities. Well, we've used those as a vehicle to try to help provide more physical activity in the community. And at many of those centers, through the REACH initiative, we began to provide what's called real age body screening. How many of you are familiar with that? Anybody heard of that before? Okay. Basically, we have opened up to the public, specifically targeting minorities, for them to come in and have pretty much an overview of their own health profile. It will look at everything from their exercise habits to their knowledge of nutrition, looking at things like cholesterol levels, and we basically calculate what their real body age is. And for many, that's a real catalyst for change, because if you come in and you are 40 years of age and based on your health risk behaviors and your actual body measurements and it says I'm 65, right, we've got a problem. So this has been a real motivator. So in many cases, we've had to turn people away for the screenings because there's just so many people that are interested and wanting to participate. And this really has a high value if we were charging for this, but it's a free service to those in the community. So the other piece of this is, in addition to the real age body screenings, we involved the community with having walking programs. So we would have peer-led, neighborhood-based walking programs. That was another part of this initiative. The other thing is, because it's affiliated with the Y, we would refer individuals that came through the screenings to other programs that were offered by the Y. So we didn't want to say, okay, yep, we screened you, we told you what you need to do, bye-bye. We wanted to make sure that there was some type of continuum that they could actually attend. So since its inception, over 355 people have participated in this program that's housed in over six locations, and again, I mentioned those rec centers within the city of Cleveland. So this is the purpose of today's presentation is just to look at some basic process data from our initiative. We're still, continuing our program. We're looking at collecting impact and outcome evaluation. So this is just some early on stuff to tell us as a pulse check, are we doing a good job in terms of our initiative? So what happened was when individuals would come in and be screened, they would complete a process evaluation immediately after screening, and then 6 months later when they would come in for follow-up screening, then they would again fill out the same survey. So we would track that over time. This was basically an assessment that looked at things like client satisfaction, behavioral intent, so were they more likely to engage in positive health behaviors, things like self-efficacy, how they found out about the program so we might be able to improve our marketing activities, and were they likely to participate in other community events as a result of our program. So we would always ask everybody to fill out a survey, but as researchers, we never get that. So out of the 355 participants, 222 actually completed the post-screening survey. And you can look at the breakdown in terms of the majority were female and African-American, and we had a plethora of individuals that were over the age of 65. In the REACH initiative, we've really tried to make an emphasis of specifically focusing on older adults because those are the folks that we're seeing a lot of the health disparities in. So here's the good news. I feel really good about our program. 75% of respondents indicated they were very confident in being able to personally change their own health behaviors. And one of the things my colleague Alan, who's in the audience, does a lot with is that whole motivational interviewing, kind of coaching, working with individuals to get them thinking about how can they change their life, how can they become more healthy based on their own health data. Also, the majority response were very satisfied with the length of the time that the screening took. Typically, we try to finish screenings within an hour, hour and a half or so. So not taking up a ton of time, but certainly that's a significant, it's a significant amount of time to participate in that. And most were very satisfied overall with the screenings. They weren't seen as something that was very invasive or uncomfortable for individuals because people are nervous. What are you going to do to me? What are you going to pinch? What's going to happen? So overall, that was okay. Most respondents found out about the program through the rec centers. And again, if you come from a community that there's any chance to have, you know, free service rec centers, this is such a wonderful gem to be able to recruit people for programs like this, get the word out, and certainly provide services right there at the rec centers. So that was a great place for us to recruit and actually have the screenings there. We know word of mouth in ethnic populations is a huge factor, so we would really try to encourage people going through the screenings to bring friends. And we also put things in neighborhoods, places where we knew that there was higher percentage of African Americans and Hispanics. Participants were also asked to indicate which community exercise program they might participate after being in the REACH program. And as a result of getting screened and participating, 30% of respondents indicated that they actually joined some type of class. So it could be things like strength training, aqua aerobics, it could be some type of spin class. But that was something that was very new for these individuals who had not really participated in organized exercise before. And you can see the data there on strength training. So a program like this, when you're doing screenings in the community, the important learning, I guess, that took place for us is to make sure that you've got that next program that you can refer people into, and it's something that's either free or, you know, reduced cost, so that you don't just say, well, this program's going to cost you, you know, $150, and these individuals don't have that money. So trying to have something that's subsidized for them that they can actually participate in. So overall, these findings suggest that our program, Clevelanders in Motion REACH, was very well received by the community. It's shown promise and self-efficacy. We saw across various points within our process evaluation, people felt more efficacious about exercising, about their own health. Their behavioral intentions increased in terms of wanting to actually participate and change their personal health behaviors. And overall, they felt like this improved their connection to the community. And, you know, that's something we always want to look at in terms of asset and capacity development. So, we're very, very lucky to be in the early stages of this program. We hope to continue this, collect more data, and the next time you hear me present, I'm hoping to talk more about some of the long-term impact and outcomes that we've seen from this wonderful program. I'll take any questions now, if anybody has any. Sure. Yes. It was 30% indicated that they had joined some type of a follow-up class, and 20% were strength training.
Oh, 20%
of 30 joined athletic training. Right. Correct. That's right. A lot of those were provided that they could actually sign up or some type of reduced rate for them to be able to participate in things like that. Sure. Other questions? Yeah.
I wish they had this program in New York City. That would be good.
Sure, sure.
I have a question in terms of recruitment. How long has the study been ongoing, and how did you achieve the recruitment in all six sites? And was any site more receptive to it than others to begin with?
Well, my colleague Alan should probably be up here addressing this question, but this is a program that's been going on for at least 4 years. Is that right? 4 years? And a lot of that is, you know, having staff that are employed, you know, either half-time or full-time. This is all they do. And we have programs in Cleveland like We Run the City, which is a marathon program for kids that's linked up. They do a great job of linking all of their programs and then having information about things like the screening. So everywhere they go, they're seeing all kinds of different programs that are focused on minority groups, ethnic groups. So also the coalition that we have has really been a huge recruitment tool because every person that comes, you know, will take information back to their organizations, nonprofits that often serve minority groups, and they'll help recruit. But I'm telling you, the biggest thing is word of mouth. You have to find those health champions that are of that ethnic population and say, we need you. Can you bring 50 of your friends? You know, can you help us run these neighborhood walking groups? And that's what's going to do it. They don't care that Dr. Thompson wants them to participate. You know, you have to find somebody of those neighborhoods that are health champions. And that's really the hinging point of the success of a program like this. Good question. Anybody else have any questions? Thanks for having me. Appreciate it.